listening to Fox Sports Radio.
The Vegas lead to me, and this is a surprise, two NFL players wanted for armed robbery.
Yeah, it was a crazy story from TMZ Sports detailed on Thursday. DeAndre Booker and Quentin Dunbar, both of the Giants and the Seahawks, at a cookout on Wednesday. They were gambling on cards and video games, and apparently armed robbery, aggravated assault, gun charges that have been levied. They are waiting. There's a warrant out for their arrest, but some crazy details to come out of that party based on some losses in gambling from allegedly a couple of nights before.
And that's my question. How certain are we, Jonas, that we believe the act of the robbery stem from the gambling losses?
Yeah, that's just one of the reports that's been out there. There's no confirmation on any of that, but that was one of the theories as to why they would have done what they've done.
And that's fascinating because the numbers I saw lost over 70,000. And then it's like, remember White Man Can't Jump? When they were playing one-on-one and someone lost and he got a gun from his car, went over to the bodega, held it up and came back and had the And my understanding is one of these players is scheduled to make $3 million.
Yeah,
one's 3.4 and one is looks like 970,000.
Yeah, and both are expected to compete for starting time this season in the defensive secondary for both these teams.
I mean, it's funny in a way, but it's really sad because if you really think about it, and I don't know about these players' backgrounds, but anyone that makes the NFL, almost anyone, has a chance to have a life they wouldn't have had otherwise, right? If Bill Gates, if his son or daughter, well, I guess the daughter's not going to make the NFL necessarily, but if the son makes the NFL, well, his financial future maybe got worse. I don't know. But for most people, this is hitting the lottery. This is living the dream. And oftentimes, the family and the extended family benefit so, you know, greatly. And you hear a lot of these players, and they'll talk about the greatest joy they had was buying their mom a house. Right. So I don't know all the details of these players, but do they ever play? I mean, you go to jail for the armed robbery and it's not just a year or two typically. Right. So if this is all true, probably last NFL down they've played. And I don't know how much they've banked so far, but it seems like that this is a generational type consequence. The kids and the grandkids are affected by it. And it looks like a heated moment. And I'm not excusing it. It just goes to show you. You go through one red light. You hit one. You know, you had three wines, Faz. You like white wine now and again, right?
You saw me with two.
Oh, that was X-rated.
Not safe to drive.
NC-17. You don't want that with Fazek, Jonas. And literally, you know, there's a movie. I think it's called... It might be Startup, I'm not sure. But it's on Netflix, it's actually pretty popular, where there's a dude who was an accountant. And he ran a red light, boom, went to jail, got involved in like white supremacy or some kind of supremacist gang in there. And his whole life was over. And obviously it's a dramatized movie, but one mistake can change it all. And to me, it's particularly sad if it's people who hadn't made mistakes before and it's people who hit the lottery in a way they got, and not that they didn't deserve it, but rather they got, they had the opportunity and they took it. And when the history is written on these guys, it will be this and not that just because of one night. Fess?
What was striking to me is both of these guys are having great success. You've got DeAndre Baker picked in the first round last year with the Giants, competing for a starting job, and Seattle's Quentin Dunbar making over $3 million a year, $75,000. That's tipping money at that point.
Well, but remember, it's the old half goes to the government.
Yeah.
Then the agent takes 10. The Instagram agent takes 10. Whatever it is these days, it's pretty bad, right?
Yeah, and I thought to myself, well, these guys probably are coming off of a bad year. Well, Quentin Dunbar just had a great year. Pro Football Focus had him rated as an 88. That's much better than an average.
Okay.
Much better than an average starter, RJ.
I'm RJ Bo, straight out of Vegas. That's Steve Fezzik talking to Jonas Knox. Now, last thing for me on this. I don't know about this personally. I grew up in a coal mining town in Ohio. 4,000 people, no stoplights. Dairy Queen that only opened during the summer. That's the truth. But I've seen it depicted on TV shows and stuff. Jonas, I don't know if you've has any insight into this, but my first thought when I heard this was, oftentimes these younger players, especially if they did come from a rough urban area, they feel a need to like keep their bones made. They go back and they run and gun a little bit because they don't want to lose their rep. And again, this is me watching, you know, it's been depicted enough on the NYPD Blue type shows that you got to think there's some truth to it. But have you had, I mean, have you read anything or seen anything noteworthy about that, John?
I mean, as far as Baker and Dunbar go, I don't know.
But I meant the general concept.
Yeah, I mean, if you watch the Netflix show Last Chance U, one of the things that it details is that sometimes when these guys go back home, and that's based around junior college football, and it's basically guys that were good enough to play at the D1 level, made mistakes, but were given their last chance, hence the title Last Chance U. And a lot of times what ends up happening is they'll end up going back home for a weekend, or they'll go back home for something and they'll get in trouble because they start running with the same crowd. So if that's another example of this, then it seems to be a little bit of a trend.
My guess is, and we'll follow this story, that the 70,000 really meant something. That oftentimes after everyone gets their cut, there's not a lot left, right? And 70,000 in cash is a lot of money. I mean, it's like, That's what a good living is in a year. That's a good living. So I mean, Jonas is not a good living. That's just, you know, that's right. The first 3 months. But
right.
the fact of the matter is, that's a good living. So I'm going to predict we're going to find out that they were short of money, or at least one of them was short of money. Though in theory, both would have to be to participate. Huh.
And
okay.
One of the other details from this is that there's the thought that this was premeditated, just based on the fact where their cars were parked, that they were waiting for something to happen. There was a third individual who was involved, and the way that they all exited the property and got out of there, that this was planned going into it, that they were going to try and get some of their money back.
Huh. You got to wonder too, and it's a thing. It's one thing if you're a junkie. Right, it's hard to be an NFL player and be a junkie, right? But you pop a Molly, do a couple lines of coke, whatever it is. It just makes it sadder sometimes where people will usually not be a drug person or a boozer, and then they get all hyped up, and lo and behold, you know, listen, anyone's ever done any drugs, and I went to college, so I'm not ignorant about it. Your risk tolerance goes way up. Especially on certain drugs like coke. So, I mean, to me, I have no idea. I almost hope it's not, because then it makes it even worse. Worse in that it was not their true nature.
Straight out of Vegas!
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Out of Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
So RJ, Blake Snell of the Tampa Bay Rays caused quite a stir when he shared some candid thoughts and opinions on returning to baseball. He is not for it, especially under the terms that were previously agreed to. He doubled down on those statements since, much to the chagrin of one Steve Fezzik.
Yeah, so Steve, to recap, would we say that's fair? Is you have a mansion, you have a yacht, and you're saying you're not entertained. All in Netflix, all that's not enough. You want more entertainment, so you go out and play.
So I can bet on the games and make money, RJ.
Yeah, okay. Here's the thing. I think he should play. I agree. But I see his point. First off, let's think about this a second. If baseball would have had an amazing year, and let me ask you, Steve, as a former actuary, you understand business. If baseball had an amazing year and made 50% more money, for whatever reason, doesn't even matter, how much more would Snell have made?
Zero.
He would have made no more. So what we're saying is the owners, and that's what ownership is, means you make the terms, and then if people agree to them, they get that regardless. Just like a player that has a guaranteed contract, if he blows out his knee, he gets his money, whatever was guaranteed. Todd Gurley's getting his money from the Rams, whatever was guaranteed. And he's getting money from the Falcons. All right? So players do okay. But in this case, when there's a downside that was unexpected, that's the burden of ownership. And just like when the spoils of ownership is when you make more money. And if the players are saying, we want some of that, it's like, nah, you weren't in on the risk. You had your guaranteed money. Now we get the spoils. And that's called skin in the game. Right? And it's a powerful concept in business. It's talked about a lot. You want people to feel that investment in the upside and the downside. And, I mean, Jonas, from your fans' perspective, Blake Snell is not getting any upside benefit. He doesn't even have the potential of it. So why should he suffer for the downside? Now, I'm not saying he shouldn't be empathetic to all the people that have it worse than him. I'm not saying he hasn't said it in a tone-deaf way. But when you really get down to it, it feels like the owners are the ones asking for the unreasonable thing here. What do you think, Jonas?
Yeah, the owners are, they're renegotiating their renegotiation. And I think that's where the players are frustrated, because they're saying, look, we're taking all the risks, and we understand that maybe you guys didn't do the math correctly and really didn't estimate the amount of losses that you were going to be suffering. But if we're taking all the risks, why should we be hand in hand with you if this whole thing goes down, when we're the ones putting our body and our health on the line?
And it's also that if somehow, some way, they had done the math in a way that it was a great deal for the owners, would they, and the players had agreed in March, would the players now get money? Would the owners be saying, you know, we're going to open up the books and give you guys an extra billion? No, that's ownership. And to me, I'll be here saying, when ownership and the spoils of that is money, I'm going to be saying, yep, that's their money. And some of the listeners are going to be like, no, it should be the workers. And it's like, well, it could be the workers. If the workers said, hey, I'll defer some of my salary for stock, hey, owners love that kind of thing most of the time. They love it. They want the team to want to be invested. But if you have no down, or if you have no upside benefit and the players don't, then why should they have the downside? Especially when it's affordable. Meaning, if it would be like, if you force this, the league won't even play this year. Now you can start saying it's so bad that the billionaires can't even make it happen. Okay, maybe then there's a compromise. But otherwise, Fez, at pregame.com, if I sell for $100 million and you say, hey, I got a contract, but I should be getting more because you sell for 100 sticks, I'm going to be like, huh, what do you think?
Well, I think you'd probably do the right thing.
No. The right thing would be you take me out to a celebratory dinner and I'd get the tip.
Benihanas.
Benihanas. He killed me at Benihanas. That's Steve Fezzik. I'm RJ Bell. Last thing, Jonas, is do you agree with me that the relative level of play is what's key? Now, I get it. If the top 1,000 players were gone, they were missing, they couldn't hit home runs. But in general, the amount of interest that comes from greatness is all relative. Like, how good would Jim Brown be today?
Right.
How good would Newt Rock? I don't know. Jim Brown, they say, was a guy who could transcend. It was before my time. But back then, against that level of competition, anyone that grew up in that era talks about Jim Brown. My dad grew up in that. He talks about Jim Brown. That dude was tough. That kind of thing. So I feel like if you let go of the best 50 players, as long as they weren't in some other league, we'd be back to normal soon enough. What do you think?
Yeah, no, I agree. I think if they weren't going and playing elsewhere, it's like back in the day when the USFL was around. You know, the USFL was a problem because there were really good players that were electing to sign with the USFL.
Steve Young,
Jim Kelly was one of them, as opposed to going to the NFL. But I don't think that there's an equivalent to that when it comes to Major League Baseball. And I also think, and we talked about it earlier in the week, I think this is an important time for Major League Baseball, a league that has struggled to build recognizable stars. There's no better opportunity in a wide open sports landscape than right now to get a head start on that. So I think it would behoove them to try and get something done and figure out how they can come to an agreement on something to play a season.
For sure. Listen, it's like if you're the wife's upset with you, Fez, and lo and behold, she has a heavy, heavy bag because she's going off to Carmel or something on vacation. You're happy she has a heavy bag, right?
Oh, absolutely. Opportunity to get out of the doghouse.
You're going to run over and try to carry that bag. And then when you throw out your back, you'll think you'll get sympathy. See?
No.
So baseball is like Fezzik after the strike that lost the World Series in the early 90s. They're going to come and carry that heavy bag if they're smart, and we'll appreciate it. But just like the white Fez, they won't forget.
Yeah, and I won't forget. If MLB messes this up and they can't get this done, I think I speak for a lot of people, RJ.
Well, no, you speak for the greedy gamblers.
I speak for more than that. 2021, hey, MLB, if you can't give me baseball this year, I won't be back for a long time.
You'll still be batting it.
Oh, yeah. Just
you just won't watch
money.
It. Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, he's saying he won't watch. He'll still bat it, though, Jones.
Straight out of Vegas!
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Out of Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
James Harrison, I've got a strong take on this. Jonas, why don't you set it up and give us your take?
Yeah, he was on in an appearance with the Going Deep podcast. James Harrison, former Steeler linebacker, said that head coach Mike Tomlin gave him an envelope after a hit on Browns wide receiver Muhammad Masakwai back in 2010. Since then, James Harrison has come out, and he came out earlier today, and he ripped the insinuations that Mike Tomlin paid him for the hit, don't compare it to Bounty Gate, so on and so forth. I believe that Mike Tomlin probably gave, my belief is that he gave him a little bit of cash. I don't think he was, it was a bounty per se beforehand. I think it was Mike Tomlin saying, hey man, you're going to get fined for that hit. Let me, I'll help out a little bit here because I know it's going to come down pretty hard. That's what I think.
Well, first off, Harrison was tough as nails. As a Steelers fan, I still remember he intercepted a pass once in the preseason against the Chargers. He's running down the left sideline, and it wasn't Rivers, but another quarterback, and he attempts to tackle Harrison. Harrison turns to him and starts running at him and bulls him over. So instead of trying to score, he wanted to hurt the backup quarterback. I mean, that's the truth.
You sound like a fucking hippie.
He is tough as nails. That said, why is he saying any of this? And I get it. When you're in the limelight and, you know, James Harrison got a lot of attention, rightfully so. He was the NFL Defensive Player of the Year. And this is a guy who got cut like five times. Ravens caught him. Steelers caught him. He worked his way up to having a great life. I don't know if this is, hey, the limelight hasn't been on him, and now I want to say, because you got to know that is going to be a big story. And then you got to know that when you act indignant, that people are making the connection that you implied. How could you even be indignant at that? But I do believe this, Jonas and Fez, and I'm RJ Bell straight out of Vegas, is I think what we as media observers or fans, bettors, we're going to think differently about this than the players. I think as a fan of Harrison, you know, I blame him in a way for saying it, but what else could you blame him for? Like, don't take the money, assuming it's true, to not do the heavy hit. You know, one of the things I thought that was off was Whitworth, the lineman, was on the herd right here in FSR, and he was saying, well, you know, I think Harrison was hitting like that for a long time, and then by 2010, the league was changing and Harrison got demonized. I don't think the league was changing by 2010. The hardest hitting game I ever saw, and it's not really close, Steelers-Ravens, AFC Championship, 2010-11, when Steelers won and went and played Green Bay. Go look that game up on YouTube. It was the hardest hitting game I've ever seen. Steelers were up 11 late. You remember that game, Jonas?
I remember where I was watching it. Yeah,
I mean, it really was one of those. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Jonas.
Well, no, I remember watching it and turning to a buddy of mine and just saying, they're out to kill each other.
It really was. And Pittsburgh's up 11, like with 50 seconds left, and Flacco's still throwing. They were teeing off over. I mean, it was gruesome. And that was it. The league turned after that. But this would have been the season before. So I'm not sure about all that. Fez, what do you think? Meaning the idea that the league had pass by a guy that was putting hits on like that was glorified, then he was being demonized. I think that did happen, but a little bit later.
Yeah, I don't understand the demonization. You know, I think back at that game, I'm like, hey, old school football, big deal.
Listen to the guy, never played a down. Do you ever have a chin strap on?
I played.
I mean, except the helmet you rode had with your bike.
Flag football.
You had a helmet and flag football?
No, eighth grade flag football, that's
it. So you've never had a chin strap across your chin?
Never.
Huh. But they're soft now, Jonas. Did you know that? Let's finish up with Harrison. And as we said, he's backtracked on it. Personally, I think the players are going to think, wow, if Tomlin did do this, and I haven't been sure reading the reports, was the envelope, and Jonas, you can tell me what you think, was the envelope something after the fine? So Harrison got fined for that hit, or was it that he got the envelope at some time after and then he was fined? Do you have any sense it was in reaction to the fine?
My take on it, my takeaway from it was that the envelope came after the game. And so it wasn't after the fine.
Yeah, to me, here's the hierarchy of which is egregious, what's bad, and what's not. The worst would be if there was a bounty before the game, before the season, a la Bounty Gate. They asked Peyton, the coach, and he said, I'm not holding my breath that they're going to get punished. But it wouldn't be the same thing if there wasn't a bounty beforehand. If they just paid him for the hit, as in, good hit, buddy. Here's some money. Go have fun at the strip club or whatever. And again, I don't know. James Harrison probably went home and bought weights or whatever because that guy lifted. I think that is the middle wrong. I think the best thing would be, and I'd actually support it, is if you feel like the NFL is hypocritical by fining and he got slipped an envelope for the exact amount of the fine, I would glorify that. I would say, great job, Steelers. Right, because the league, the NFL, is hypocritical, and that's why I think players would probably support that greatly. The idea that you go do your job, you try your hardest at the league, because their PR effort is going to make it where they try to make you the sacrificial lamb. We'll step in and help you out, even if it's symbolic. That amount of money, we'll be there for you. It strikes me the players are going to appreciate that. If it's not a Bounty Gate situation, I don't think the Steelers or Tomlin should be all that worried, at least about being wrong. I don't know what the NFL might do. Closing word, Fred.
Yeah, great point. As long as it's not premeditated, right, in terms of a player comes in, I want to hurt somebody. If it just happens in the passion of the game, big difference.
Yeah, I do think if it is what Jonas thinks, is he hurt someone, there was no fine, it's like here. The fact they knew that they hurt him and he's getting paid, I think that's a little uncomfortable. But if it was in reaction to the fine, I'm behind it 100%, Jonas. It's Fez. Fez says he's got to redeem the show. You should have heard him during the commercial after your UFC. I'm not getting involved.
I mean, don't let the kids drive the car. I don't know what to tell you.
We do it to make us look good, though. Don't you realize that?
And it works. Trust me.
Right out of Vegas!
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.